Some women impersonate Sex and the City's Carrie Bradshaw with vast closets full of fantastic clothing. Even Sarah Jessica Parker pretends to be Carrie Bradshaw when she walks the red carpet. However, there is one woman in New York City who, if he knew her, would have been Darren Star's real muse. Let me introduce you to Susan S. Warner, the adorable petite blonde who at 59 lost her handsome, extraordinary husband to cancer 6 months after her wonderful 32-year-old son died by suicide. It's now 4 years later. After the most challenging days and nights, Susan decided to live her best life possible. And just like that, Susan was suddenly single. Carrie may have Susan beat on exposure, but Susan has Carrie beat on life's experiences. Listen in.
Susan, how was your weekend?
Hey, Lois, how are you? Well, I was down in your sunny Florida state on the West Coast, and it was absolutely beautiful. Attended a wedding, got a lot of new information to talk to our viewers about, and a lot of interesting things about attending weddings and being that plus one.
That's interesting. Well, we'll definitely have to cover that. But for
today, my new label, I'm the plus one. I don't like being called a girlfriend. So my new label is, you know, who are you? I'm the plus one. It works.
I could be the plus 12 or 14 in terms of the size. Okay.
Stop that.
That's funny. Anyway, so today we are going to be talking about trophy wives, which I think is a very interesting conversation after 60. But let's see how interesting we get. So, Susan, Is there such a thing as a trophy wife after 60?
Well, Lois, can we take the wife out of trophy wife and do trophy plus one, trophy girlfriend, trophy significant other? Would that be okay?
Great idea.
Because I'm not sure I want to slap that wife label on, because that's a long discussion that I have about, you know, we've touched upon before, and whether marriage is necessary or probable or the answer in after 60. But is there such a thing as a trophy plus one? Yes, I think there is. I think that men are very interested the second, third time around, whatever time around it is for them, to be with a woman that they're very proud of. I touched in the last podcast about what you present at this time is who you are. You don't have a history. You're not mourning an old body, etc. Well, it's also who you are at this time is who they get. So it's not like you grow together or grow apart. It's spot on. So that attraction to you, and I wanted to define trophy wife, trophy significant other, trophy girlfriend, as not trophy as we used to know it with the beautiful 6 foot statuesque blonde, but the woman that offers something that makes him proud on his arm. And I think through evolution, that something can be intelligence, a sense of humor, kindness, attraction, physical, good looks, but not necessarily just the Barbie doll that we used to associate with trophy plus ones.
How did you come to that conclusion?
A lot of self-searching, a lot of understanding. I've had the good fortune of socializing with quite a few people in the last few months who are together as couples and not married. And I see why, yes, it is interesting. That's a whole nother story as to why that happened.
Right.
But in it, I see the attraction between these couples, and it transcends just the physical statuesque beauty of a woman. There's so much more here. And I'm really pleased with that, because I'm not thinking anymore, and we touched on this in the last podcast also, so if you haven't heard it, listen first, that men are attracted to other things and not necessarily the 30-year-old. I'm not finding in my demographic that men are looking for that 30-year-old that's the same age as their child. They're looking for women who are more age-appropriate, but hold the excitement that they're looking for the second time around or third time, whatever it is.
That should be very interesting. And that's a great answer and a great insight. But it's interesting that you're mixing with singles that are parts of couples, and how mm-hmm. that dynamics of the conversations and their wishes and their dreams and their activities and their predictions and their opinions about things, you know, how different that is from when we were in our teens and our 20s. That's a whole other thing. It's definitely going to tell us about.
I have to tell you, I'm a good dinner partner right now in that demographic, because when people tell me that they're couples and, you know, what they call each other and how long they've been together, et cetera, et cetera, I dive in there like a cultural anthropologist. And I'm like, well, tell me about that. Or, you know, I don't mean to pry, but I'm really kind of interested for my research. And they really open up about why they decide not to marry, how they're coupling, what their relationship is like, how long they've been together. And they give me some really good insight. And most of it's very thoughtful about how they function as a couple, oftentimes deciding not to marry, but to make commitments to each other. And I find it really interesting. And I'm telling you, I approach this like an anthropologist.
Does everybody seem... Go ahead. No, I said, does everybody seem satisfied with that? Or is everybody play acting and they really want to be married?
Coming from a married woman, no, they're not play acting. I think that most of the time also, these are fellow females that are not looking to get married. It's not like the man said, I don't want to be married and you have to settle for this relationship. It's been a joint decision. And in many times it's the woman who is leading the conversation about not really wanting to get married. And a lot of it, and this is something I'd like to address in a future podcast, is about the blended family and the acceptance of the children and the acceptance of moving these two families together or having each side accept each other. And by pulling the marriage wife piece out of it or marriage husband piece out of it, I think it makes it a lot more palatable in this blended family situation.
That's powerful. It really is. Because
the blended family is a key part of a relationship, and it's something that you can't ignore. And I mean, I'll tip my hat a little bit, and I've said to several men that I've dated, I will not come between you and your children. So if your children don't approve of your dating or don't approve of me, I will not come between you. That is sacred as far as I'm concerned. And I think a lot of women out there believe that. I'm not sure men are quite as committed to that, but I think women do. So there's a lot of consideration in what the children are thinking, what the family is thinking, how to approach this relationship that makes us the most happy and makes them the most happy. It's a little bit complicated in its simplicity, in the fact that this relationship's a little bit more simple. It's a little bit more complicated with grown children and grandchildren.
You know what? I would have thought just the opposite. Or maybe it's because people are seniors and they're more pragmatic about it. But I certainly think that women, especially women, would do anything, you know, to capture the man that they want, even if it's their second or third or fourth time. And the family would just have to fit in to the her schedule of being with that man. And what you're saying, it's just like, no, everybody is very conscious of the other family and they want to make it work. I never would have guessed that.
Maybe I'm exposed to people that are a little bit more evolved in this. Evolved, not involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that they're just more aware of it. But I don't see that. I think because I have the sensibility of a woman and zero in on the woman first, I think that we all have such innate and important bonds with our children that we want to make sure forever that they are happy and content with us as well. And that makes us form different relationships and contour our relationships a little differently.
That's a big eye opener.
And I'm finding that across the board.
Yeah. I
in
mean,
people
so
that I've met.
Yeah. So then the natural thing would be, so the single women, single senior women, are they looking for trophy husbands? What are they looking for? I mean, I thought I knew the answer. Now you're going to tell me.
You want to tell me what you thought your answer was?
I thought that women are looking, some women, it's all about money and how they could secure their future if they don't have it. And I think most of the women that I know would look for somebody that they could have a good time with.
Okay, good time and trophy. How do they equate? I think that women are different animals. Women are from Venus, men are from Mars. Mm-hmm. I think that women the second time around are looking for different things than men are. But I think that fundamentally we get closer this time than we probably do the first time around. Meaning that, and I've discussed this, kindness, civility, and the utmost respect, at least in my world, is is first and foremost. Women who need financial security need financial security. Is that a trophy? That's an awful hard term, harsh term. I don't know that desiring financial security is a trophy situation, but we do know the old adage that if you marry for money, you pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something at every level one has to think about, whether you're 22, 32, 42, or 62, 72. You marry for money, you pay the price. It's different than marrying for friendship or kindness or respect or love. So, but if that is paramount to you, then that is your trophy. But as I think women the second time around, particularly in a senior situation, are far more physically forgiving. They're aging. They're expecting men to age. They're far more forgiving than men are. You know, men's physiques fade, their hairline moves, their hearing goes, you know, they don't stand as straight, et cetera. So I think women, providing the person is kind and giving and has a mutual respect for one another, are less trophy seeking than men.
Hmm.
That's my opinion.
You certainly put a positive spin on it, I must say. So I was going to ask you next, and it kind of like doesn't fit in, but do single seniors still put so much emphasis on looks? And my experience would be that women do. Like if they meet a man that has a full head of hair, it's like, whoa. Or if he's tall, whoa. And I look at them like they're crazy, but you tell me what you think.
I'm not sure that changes across the generations. A girl that's paramount to her at 26 or 28, it's going to be paramount to the woman. You know, I don't understand that particularly. And I think I've given up before that I was married to an extraordinarily handsome man, breathtakingly handsome man. And he didn't know it. And I don't, this time around, of course, I like attractive people. You know, I'm shallow like that. I agree with that. But is that the definer? No, it's not. And I believe that women overlook a lot more than men do in that respect. I do. I think that women understand the aging process and the fact that they want the silver fox. I'm not sure that's not more myth than it is truth.
Hmm. That's interesting. You know, I'm naive. Yeah. Well, I don't know. So I'm going to tell you a story. You know, I'm with a lot of senior people, and sometimes, you know, everyone's married, but, you know, at times somebody brings, you know, a couple or two couples that are not married, that are, they're kind of like with each other for many years. And I'm always very conscious of when the men come in with very good looking women. They're older, but they're still very good looking. And then I look around the room with the rest of us and I'm thinking, what is he thinking now about the woman he's with compared to the rest of us? So I had the occasion. I have a friend of mine who lives in Italy, and he's lived in Italy since we're in college. And he came to visit me after so many years. And he walked in with a gorgeous Italian woman, and the rest of us look like Hadassah women. I had to ask him. I said to him, I have to ask you, if you would have remained, because he's Jewish, in New York, you know, do you think you would have been with a woman like that? Only I would ask a question like that. And or do you think that, you know, you'd be
acceptable? Why, we love you, Lois.
But he is such a kind, quiet guy that he said, love is love. That was his answer to me. And I thought to myself, baloney. Now you tell us. You're the expert.
I'm not the expert, and that's very Italian, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was at a wedding this weekend, and I was with, you know, most of the people were long-term married. And I will tell you, and I'm probably going to get shot for this, but that a single woman often steps it up. You know,
what does that mean?
She's more acutely aware of how she looks and how she presents herself and what she's wearing. And she's out there. You know, she knows she's single. Whether she's in a committed relationship or not, she's been through the dating scene recently or semi-recently, and she takes a lot of care with the way she looks. So there is, and oftentimes men do date women that are a decade younger, you know, could be 10 years, Mm-hmm. And they are younger. I mean, there's no denying it. You know, a 50-year-old looks different than a 60-year-old. So I think that oftentimes there is a difference between couples who are dating and couples who are married, in that everyone on the dating side seems to try a little harder and is on top of their game. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that answers my question. It makes me sad.
Well, it's just, you know, when you're with your husband and you're really super comfortable and you're going out to a place for dinner that's not, you know, particularly competitive and fancy, might you not underdress and maybe not put on makeup that night and your hair's not great? But when you're not with someone all the time and every time is a quasi-date, you tend to do your makeup and your hair looks great and you think about your outfit. So it's just a matter of where you are in those steps. And instead of being super comfortable and saying he loves me for who I am, even though he does, the person in the committed relationship does, there's still that element of excitement that makes you want to be at the top of your game.
No question.
So there is a difference, yes. And love is love. That's a beautiful Italian way of looking at it. I think it's cloaked in other things, however.
He was brought up in Queens, New York, but he's been in Italy most of his life. And that's
That'll
what he answered
it.
Me. I believed him, but trust me, like anyone else, he was happy to be with a thin, curvy woman. Which brings me to my next sensitive question, to be honest with you. And, you know, it's interesting because for the audience out there, Susan is slim. She's very pretty. You could easily, you know, guess that she's 20 years younger than what she is. But I have to ask you, do single, slim, pretty women or men have it easier getting dates after 60? I really want you to think about it. Don't give us the PR answer.
I don't have to. It's an easy answer. No, it's an easy answer. Because when you go on the apps and you swipe right or you swipe left, what are you judging it on? You know, I love to water ski and hike and I'm an animal lover. You're not dating her for that reason. You're dating her for exactly what you saw in that picture.
Right.
And, you know, why do women in most dating apps have a picture of themselves in workout clothes and very often have low blouses on and you know, take seductive-ish pictures? Because we're a visual society. So, of course, in every aspect, you know, they sociologists and anthropologists have proven that attractive people have a leg up. There's no question about that. And based on the fact that the apps are completely visual, you know, there's no, you know, interactive video on this, or very few have that, or you're not asking questions until you make the phone call. As long as you're swiping right and swiping left and putting hearts down, it's a visual world. And those people that are attractive have an easier time, yes. Look, there are coaches out there that will tell you how to post on an app. Like what kind of picture attracts you and what doesn't. And so obviously, I mean, we're a visual society and we judge people on how they look. That's the downside of not meeting people organically, where you hop off your bike at an exercise class and you say to someone, hey, good ride. And he sees you all sweaty and, you know, you guys rode together and that's an attraction because the personality is good. Not a lot of personality and, you know, I love cats and I have my MBA. You know, that's not telling you too much. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It is unfortunate. It is. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. So this is a silly
and for women,
question.
Women do the same thing. They swipe right and left too based on look.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They look for the full head of hair. so this is going to sound silly to you, but I'm curious. You know, do trophy wives after 60 or trophy, you know, girlfriends after 60, when you're single, do they have to be as domesticated as other women that are not as attractive? Now, you may say, Lois, where did you ever come up with that question? And I'll tell you, I got it from Joan Rivers when she used to say, stop cleaning the kitchen floor. Nobody gives a shit about that kitchen floor. Stop it. Stop it. You know, I mean, you know, you're crazy. Stop keeping the house clean. Stop making the good meals. That's not what it's about. And everyone would laugh, and only she could deliver that, you know, that well.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious about that. You know, as a young person, you know, it may not be as important as older. Like, I want to marry my second and third wife is going to be a great cook because it's going to be fabulous. So I'm curious. Tell me.
I don't think many men are saying that. No. And the funny thing is, when you said they need to be domesticated, my first thought is, you know, yes, we walk well without our leashes on, meaning domesticated pets.
No.
But, but yeah. I really don't think, honestly, that comes into play too much. However, if both or either of you are really interested in a marriage situation and setting up house immediately, that could be a very important part. And let's face it, I mean, a way to a man's heart is often through his stomach. A woman who's a good cook or makes a nice home is probably more attractive, but you have to get to like the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 10th date before you find that out. It's not going to be the immediacy. But when you put trophy people in this mix of domestication, those are like clashing terms. You know, and I really want to reiterate that the trophy person can be someone that's just really smart and really
right.
witty and really interesting and really accomplished. It doesn't always have to be the Barbie doll. That trophy idea, I think, changes significantly in age. And it's not always, I mean, yes, attractiveness has a lot to do with it. But there's so many other variables about, you know, she's, you know, if the man is far into his career and is successful, she's a woman that I am proud to have on my arm. She can sit down at a table of my peers and hold her own. She can be in a political discussion and turn heads. She's interesting. She could talk to a wall and makes everybody feel really comfortable at a table. Those are things that make you trophy as well, not just physical appearance, not just the 6-foot blonde of yesteryear, you know, that was 30 years younger. So men can find trophyism through lots of attributes, not just raw beauty. You know, it's usually a combination of things. But accomplished men often want women who can talk to them, who can listen to them. Listening is a huge trait that's really important, because a lot of men who think they're masters of the universe want to be listened to. So that's important too, and have a valid response, you know, have an intelligent response,
right.
and give intelligent opinions about what they're talking about. So I'm hoping we've evolved in the 2000s into women who carry these attributes other than just, you know, beautiful bodies and faces.
Well, Susan, I think that's a great way to end, because bless you for saying that. I think people should hear the end first. Maybe we'll put that in the written introduction, because I think that would give great hope. And then if people started listening at the beginning, they would have the proper perspective and not be so
trite. Can I just add, Lois, that you just need to be confident. It's really important for either male men or women to be confident in who they are and feel comfortable in projecting that, because no, you shouldn't cloak anything or blanket anything, because who you are is who you are. And you're going to be the most happy with someone who loves you for that, appreciates you for that, respects you for that. So being the real you and not presenting something that's untrue, a picture that's 10 or 12 years old, saying that you like things that you don't, you're going to be with truth and with honesty, you will find a person who will love you for you. And it may be a hunt, and it may be kissing a lot of frogs, but ultimately I think it's always worth it.
That's
be
wonderful.
True to yourself. Honestly.
Well, thank you
be
for those
yourself.
For those really smart words. Thank you, and we'll talk to everyone the next time.